Today on Real Radio.
I'm not special. The people around you are not special. But the truth that we are regurgitating in your ears is special. God wants to unlock your heart with his key. And you think it's silly. Why is that the case? Because according to the Bible, you're still in the dark.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series which looks at a section in chapter 4 where the Apostle Paul writes of unbelievers who've been blinded to the light of the gospel by, as Paul puts it, the god of this world, of course referring to Satan. It provides for us some insight into one of the ways the devil operates. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now continuing in his mini-series called A Plan Right Out of Hell.
The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Listen, light is like a key going into a lock. And if a lock could think, I bet you it's thinking, nobody can get past me. Nay, nobody going past me. I'm a lock. And it's there. And then here comes the key. Only one key fits that lock. And there's a key that fits your soul. And it's God's light. And when the gospel is presented, we'll talk more on this in a moment, but when the gospel goes out, think of it like a light. It's a key. It's an illuminated key. And it's going around to this sanctuary right now. And it's coming right up to your heart and your mind. And imagine if the key goes in and turns, light comes on. You ever think about that? God's word goes out. It's a light and a lamp. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The entrance of your words," listen, "gives light," gives understanding to the simple. Isn't that good news? How did you do in school? Not so good. Doesn't matter now. Because if your heart is open and willing to receive the light, the key of the gospel truth, if you're willing to say, "Lord, I want to know if you're real. I open up my life. Jesus, I believe in you. I open up my heart. I yield the lock to my soul," and you let the light of God's word in there. Listen, this excludes all human efforts. I like this. This is completely other than human manipulation, human effort, things of this world. If you are willing to say, "Jesus Christ, I'm inviting you to come into my life," God's word will come in even during the course of this service, and we begin to unlock the soul, and light will begin to come on. And how do you know? There'll be an illumination of the way that you think, or how you think, what you think. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says, concerning Jesus Christ, who is in fact the light, the glory of Christ to shine upon us, it says that he, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. You ever wonder what God is like? Then read the Gospels. Read the book of Revelation. The firstborn, or the one who presides over, is the meaning of that word, all creation. For by him, that is Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. Isn't that awesome? Visible and invisible. How important is Jesus? He's everything. Whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, that means angelic creations. He's made them. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. That means he is the governor of them all, the creator of them all. You could say he's the father of them all, and in him all things consist, are held together. For it pleased the Father that in him, Christ, all the fullness should dwell. What is God like? Read the Gospels. What happens if somebody's caught in the act of adultery and they repent of that? They're sorry for that. Well, then read Jesus' encounter with the woman caught in the act of adultery. Isn't it awesome to think? What's God's mind on those that are hungry? To feed them. When someone is burned out and tired and disgusted with the sin of their life. The light is coming on. They realize, I need a Savior. I'm lost. I've been a liar, a cheat, a thief, a whatever. And all you have to do is fudge on your income tax to be a liar, a cheat, or a thief. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need Jesus. And when we come to Him, we say, Lord, forgive me. What does He do? He forgives. And He changes our lives. He's awesome. And just as the light begins to shine, think of it, in our own hearts as believers, we are the reflectors in this world of the love of God in our lives. We should be anyway. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, Jesus, being the brightness of His glory and the expressed image of His person, that is who God is, and upholding all things by the word of His power. When He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's your Jesus. Is this your Savior? Is this your Redeemer? I hope He is. And last time I mentioned this verse, and I want to mention it again. It is Satan's plan to keep you not illuminated. It is God's plan to illuminate you to truth. And Satan's plan is to keep you comfortably sequestered in the dark and waiting. Waiting for your end, waiting for your death, waiting for your demise. He hates God so much that He wants your soul because God loves you so much. Matthew 6:22, Jesus said, the lamp of the body is the eye. Boy, isn't that true? People, listen. Lives are being destroyed. Marriages are being destroyed. Children are being destroyed. People are being destroyed by this thing of pornography. And I might add these days, some form of literary pornography in these steamy love novels that so-called Christians are saying, I can read these lustful pornographic novels because they don't have pictures in them. Are you kidding me? We had a woman in church whose husband is disgusted because she's justified her reading these novels because they don't have pictures and doesn't call them pornography. Let me tell you something. Satan has tapped into something that is more powerful than what a camera can capture, and that is your imagination. It's worse. And it's ruining homes. It's like people are opening up the doors and the windows of their home and letting the darkness come in and destroy their families. Men and women of God, it's time to stand up, and we need to draw a circle around our home. We need to circle the battle wagons around our house. Amen. Darkness is encroaching. Darkness is coming. We turn on the TV, and it may be a big blue light, but it's very dark because it hits the eye. And kids today, you don't know this, kids today are duping their parents by using their iPods. Their iPods from Apple has no restriction on them. They can get all kinds of things. You think it's just for music, and the kids can get anything on these things now, and they're extremely pornographic. And it comes in, and it's in forever. It's a serious business. The darkness is rampant in destroying homes. And Jesus said, listen, if your eye, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Isn't that true? Think about it. When darkness, as it were, shines upon your eye, you turn away. I was speaking Friday night out in the Palm Desert, Rancho Mirage area, and driving out the 60 freeway, there is one of those pornographic billboards alongside the freeway. And it has this seductively dressed nurse. And it said underneath, whatever the address is, XYZ Avenue, blah, blah, blah. Underneath her it said, the cure for the common marriage. 60 freeway. If I was the mayor of that city, I would throw that sign in the trash. But think about it for a moment. Just open up, swing wide the eye, and let the darkness come on in. And we're paying the price, church. It's destructive. God wants you illuminated. He wants you walking in the light. You remember when your kids were little or when you were little, you loved the light. You went to bed even when you were little. I did. Did you go to bed with a flashlight when you were little? That was awesome. I still have one next to me within arm's reach. just in case it's a tough night. When we were young and simple, we knew, I don't want to look at that. That's scary. And we always stayed near the light. Kids by nature are afraid of the darkness. That's smart. The second thing in verse 5 is that Satan wants to keep you from the light because light would educate you. In verse 5 it says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." Isn't that nice? Isn't that awesome? I love that. We're not supposed to preach ourselves. How do we preach ourselves anyway? It's ridiculous. Paul says, you know what? We want to rescue souls from hell? We want to go up against Satan in this battle for souls? Don't fiddle around with things that don't matter. Preach Jesus Christ. Present the Word of God. And look, I have to admit, let's be honest. Preaching the Word of God is really a silly thing to do. I mean, let's admit, it is silly. Even, look, in the 21st century, people will think, you know, you go to church? For what? Oh, Bible study. Bible study? Are you crazy? It's a strange thing. Preaching's a weird deal. Even you see somebody who's evangelizing someone, maybe down at the beach or here in the shopping center, wherever, and they begin to share Jesus Christ. It is a silly thing, but listen, you cannot deny its effectiveness and it's timeless. No matter what happens with technology, preaching will never go away. Did you know that? Wherever you have a person that is lost and a person that is saved, and the person who is saved loves the person that's lost, they're going to reach that person. Yes, there's other avenues by which we capitalize on to be more effective. There is the media, there is radio, there is internet, there is television to get the Word of God out. Hallelujah for that. But it's only an extension of this thing called preaching, to preach Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the message of the cross, preaching, is foolishness to those who are perishing." There's people, maybe you're here right now and you're going, "When's he going to shut up? Let's get out of here. I don't understand a word this guy is saying." It's because you're lost. I'm not special. The people around you are not special. But the truth that we are regurgitating in your ears is special. God wants to unlock your heart with his key. And you think it's silly. Why is that the case? Because according to the Bible, you're still in the dark. That word "preach" is an amazing word. It's a simple word. It means to talk out loud originally. It means to herald or a heralder. It means a town crier, a preacher, a proclaimer. The word also means a publisher. Isn't that neat? A publisher. What does a publisher do? A publisher either verbally proclaims or prints out something to educate you about something else, to inform you. And that's good because what we're doing is all about and only Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 2:2, Paul said to the church at Corinth, "For I determined not to know anything among you except," look, "Jesus Christ and Bunko." No, Jesus Christ and Bingo. No, Jesus Christ and Pete. No, Jesus Christ, him alone. Listen, crucified. Jesus crucified. That whole statement presupposes that someone who hears about why was Jesus crucified? That's the common question, you know. I think if you fell out of an airplane and landed in the jungles of the Amazon or fell out of an airplane and landed in the deserts of the Sahara, I think the question would be the same if you communicated to somebody, "Jesus Christ was crucified." It's natural for the person to say, "Why?" Don't you think? Why was he crucified? Ah, because you and I need a Savior. You and I need to be saved. Saved from what? You see, it never ends. It leads you right to the gospel. Well, there's a hell that we're all heading toward because we were born into a family of sin. Adam and Eve sold us into sin. We don't have to learn how to lie. We do not have to learn how to steal. We do not have to learn how to whatever. No, that comes natural to us. We have to learn to follow God. We have to learn to appreciate Him. We have to learn to thank Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 says, "But we preach Christ crucified," watch this, "to the Jews a stumbling block." Why? Because a Jew will say, "I can save myself." And to the Greeks, that is the non-Jew, it's foolishness. Why? Why would somebody help me? That's what the non-believing, that's what the Greek world would say. I'm educated. I can help myself. Why would somebody want to help me? The Jew would say, "I can save myself. I don't need help from anybody." The Greek says, "Why would anybody help me?" But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. That's good news. God's desire is to educate you and I in the things of God. That's why you study the Bible. The more you study the Bible, the more educated you are about the ways of God. The third thing under this point is in verse 5, light would instruct us. And this is a little bit different than being educated. When I say instruct us, it's all tied up in the word bondservants. He says, "And ourselves, your bondservants for Jesus' sake." What is he saying? Paul is announcing, and by the way, he's saying it to all of us who are Christians, that we are bondservants for Jesus' sake. Well, for what? Well, first of all, the word bondservants is a word that you guys all know, doulos. A bondservant is an interesting thing. The word means a slave by ownership or a slave by willingness. It means to be one literally or figuratively. It means to be a slave as a willing servant. Doesn't that sound like a contradiction? A slave as a willing servant or a slave at one's own choosing. Bondservant. See, what does this mean? The word bond, you cannot be a bondservant unless you have first been a servant. You have to be one who has been captivated and controlled by the world, and then you endure your hardship. Listen, think of us before we were Christians. We were slaves of this world. And then the light comes, and we are educated and instructed and illuminated to the truth of God, and we go from this, watch, we go from one form of slavery to another form of slavery. Watch. Remember how I said a moment ago, we were sold or born into this world of sin from Adam and Eve. We had no choosing in it. We were born slaves. It's in our blood. We are S-I-N positive. Okay? Then the key comes in, unlocks the heart, the lights come on, and we get delivered from being S-I-N positive. And what happens? We go from slavery to sin to slaves of righteousness. What does that mean? That means you and I who are Christians today want to, long to, do the right thing for God. Amen. Before we used to run from God and hope he didn't see. Now we run to God, asking him, "Take a good look, Lord. Look up and down everywhere, inside and out. Wash me, wash me, wash me every day." And we willingly yield to be his slave. A bondservant. Isn't that cool? I love that. And by the way, the bondservants of the ancient world, you always knew who they were, because when they were given the time to be set free, they would say to their master, "I like you. I don't want to leave you." Then the master would say, "Well, okay then. You'll be my bondservant. Come on, let's go over here." And they would take his ear, you know this thing? And they would go like this right here. See that? On a piece of wood out in front of the master's house. He'd get a nail and a hammer. What are you women wincing for? And boom! And it would that metal all would be in his ear, and everybody knew, wow, 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 wow. That guy's a bondservant. He is a slave willingly, free will from his heart, to his master. Watch, watch, watch what it does. Excuse me, I see that you're a bondservant. Yes, I am. That's amazing. They don't see that very often. Tell me about your master. Is he hiring? If you walked around with that mark, it announces you had such a great master that you wanted to be his servant for life. Sound familiar? Amen. Jesus, nail me right here. And Paul said, that's exactly what happened. We got nailed by the love of God. And we want to go all around the world telling people who our master is. Isn't that fun? It's beautiful. Instruction. The third and final thing is this, church, in verse 6. A plan right out of hell, Satan's plan, is to keep you never knowing. Never knowing. One of the strange things about getting older, and it comes on sooner than you think. Maybe you were around 30, or you are around 30 now, and you're starting to maybe even think thoughts like this. You know, if I could just live life over again with what I know now, I would do things different. Have you ever heard that? How many of you are over 30? Raise your hands. Anybody in here under 30? Raise your hands. Wow, you guys got up early, huh? You went to bed early last night. You know you're getting older when you stop and think, let me reflect for a moment. Yeah, you know what? If I could live life over, there's some things I'd do different. Well, who wouldn't? Right? I mean, I became a Christian at the age of 19. My question is, why did I wait so long? My goodness, if I would have become a Christian before I was 13, I'd have a lot less baggage in my heart than I do right now, or in my memory. Satan wants you to never know that God has a plan for your life. He wants to keep you, look, I'm saying this from experience, even though I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven, I still get caught up. You know what? He wants to keep you so busy you never stop and think. And I'm always battling the urgent versus the important. Never listen. My goal in life is to figure out how I can keep the urgent from choking out the important. The important is what needs to be done. The urgent is screaming at you to do it now. You know what I'm saying? Nobody knows? Okay, great. I'm in this alone. To keep you never knowing, watch this, verse 6. This is incredibly theologically romantic in my mind. Knowing his creation, verse 6. Look at this. For it is, mark it, Bible students, take a highlighter. It is not, watch, let me read it wrong. For it is God who commanded light. Did you hear that? I read it wrong. What did I miss? The definite article, the. What's he saying? Changes everything. Knowing his creation. Satan doesn't want me to know this. Watch. For it is the God. What God? Who? Which God? The God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Boom. One word changes the whole thing now. Who are we talking about? The Jesus who we preach.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio. In a lesson called A Plan Right Out of Hell. Taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 through 6. A Plan Right Out of Hell is actually a series within a series, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, did you know that you can catch Pastor Jack's TV program, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, on YouTube? Did you know that there are a number of advantages to this? For instance, if you subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel, you'll be notified every time a new video is uploaded. You can easily share them with a friend or post them on your social media site. The programs are all categorized, so it's real easy to navigate by subject matter. We've also made it real easy for you to find it at our own reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And at the bottom of the page there, just click on YouTube, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you'd like it, here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.